Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this beautiful day in Denver, Colorado, welcome to Call to Freedom. It truly was for freedom that Jesus set you free, and I hope you're feeling and sensing that freedom today wherever you are. You are blessed because you belong to God. He chose you, shaped you, and prepared you to make a difference in this world. I am so grateful for you. You are just a wonderful believer in Jesus Christ, and if you're struggling just a little bit, well, you keep listening. The verses of scripture that Kimberly and I are going to give you today are going to bless you from the inside out, so that at the end of the day, instead of, "Oh, I'm so tired," you're going to be smiling and saying, "Praise God, He's blessed me through this day." Let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do, that's a hard part, I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And we, our power packs have a new teal color. I know many of you already have a power pack, but I want to suggest to you, do your children have a power pack? Do your grandchildren have a power pack? Does your best friend have a power pack? And they are so easy to put into a stocking during Christmas. So they'll make a wonderful present for some of your loved ones. The price is increased to $15 for the binder, the acrylic binder, and $10 for the power pack in the cassette case. I hope you will go online and order them at the resource section of the website. They're just a wonderful addition to whatever you're going to give as a gift. Even if you go to lunch and someone at lunch says, "Oh, I just have this situation," and you can just flip a power pack over and say, "This is what you need. You need hope, or you need freedom from anger," or is so many things involved in that person's day. So I hope you will go online and buy one, or after the program today, you can even come online, and I will give you a place where you can order. So God bless you for doing that. Memory verse for this week is Isaiah 48 verse 17. Love this. The New American Standard is, "I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you the way you should go." And the Message translation is wonderful. Isaiah 48 verse 17, "Come close, listen carefully. I've never kept secrets from you. I've always been present with you. And now the Master God sends me and His Spirit with this message." And this is Isaiah speaking. And he's saying, "I am God, your God, who teaches you how to live right and well. I show you what to do and where to go." Oh, I'm so grateful for that. Kimberly, I am so grateful for that.
Oh, me too. He has shown us who to talk to, where to go,
yeah,
given us all kinds of good directions so that we can work out the rest of this. I can't believe I've been here the month of September. This is the last week of September.
I know, and you're going to be going pretty soon. And I've just really enjoyed this whole month. And the weather has been glorious.
Beautiful.
It's just been absolutely glorious. Yes. So, yes, I am so grateful that God shows us what to do and where to go. Mm-hmm. Confession for today by Rick Renner. "I confess that I am not ruled by worry, fear, or concerns. I go to God with those things that are on my heart, and I clearly articulate what I feel, what I need, and what I expect heaven to do on my behalf. Because of the promises in God's word, I know exactly how to boldly make my requests. I always match my requests with a 'thank you, Lord.' Always remember that, friend. Yeah. I always match my requests with a thank you, Lord, letting God know how grateful I am for everything he does in my life. Heaven is on my side. Therefore, I know I will survive and thrive and victoriously overcome each and every attack that tries to come against my family, my relationships, my business or ministry, my finances and my life. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Just this last week, I found a book that Rick had written, 1992, and he was so young. They had a picture of him on the back of the book, and he was so young, I almost didn't recognize him. We do grow older. And we do look different. We do. Oh, and I want to read this scripture. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. This is from Philippians 4. Tell him every detail of your life, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, fastening your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Now, in that little list of things that we would think on, continually fix our thoughts and our spirit on, there's not one thing that says, I'm going to get even. Nope. Authentic and true, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. We should think on those things, Paul says in Philippians 4. Praise God. So why don't we just begin to take all of our problems and anxieties to God and talk to him for a little while? Why do we believe that God has the answers to every situation that we face on this earth? Because he's been at this problem solving ever since the world was created by him. I mean, sin happened in the Garden of Eden, the perfect place, Kimberly, the perfect realm for people to live. They got everything they needed. Every need was taken care of. And yet sin came. Sin came into that beautiful, perfect place.
Mm-hmm. And what was that sin?
Pride.
It was opinions.
Opinions. Okay. Yes.
And yes, pride, right? Because we pridefully thought our opinion was better than God's.
Oh, yes.
That's how that came in. It comes in every day.
Yeah. Yes. And we know, I believe that most of you have read the Bible. If you haven't read through the Bible, you know the Bible. And you know God's word is tested and true, and we can wholly rely on it. And so many prophecies of the Old Testament have already come true. And we know that what he said about the future will also be manifested in the physical realm. And while we're limited by space and time and can only see things in one direction, God operates outside of the space-time continuum and sees all things from every direction. For instance, the words God spoke concerning the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament were fulfilled to the letter and recorded in the New Testament. For that reason, when God speaks of the future, such as Christ's return, you can bank on it. It's going to happen. It really is going to happen. So what other God can make that kind of claim?
No other.
No other. No other. And as I was reading Isaiah today, Kimberly, this chapter just really came out to me, and I went into the office and began typing it out, and it's just such a beautiful passage of scripture. Do you have it in the message?
I do.
Okay.
You want me to read this?
Yes.
Isaiah 44, starting in verse 2. God who made you has something to say to you. God who formed you in the womb wants to help you. Don't be afraid, dear child. In the Passion, I believe it says, oh, pleasing one.
Oh, I love that.
Don't be afraid, pleasing one. Mm-hmm. The one I chose. That's God saying he chose you. Mm-hmm. For I will pour water on the thirsty ground and send streams coursing through the parched earth. I will pour my spirit into your descendants and my blessing on your children.
Yes.
They shall sprout like grass on the prairie, like willows alongside creeks. This one will say, I am God's. And another one will write on his hand, God's property.
I'd like to get a sign and stick it in my yard and say, God's property.
Or even tattoo it right on your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh.
The look on your face right now. What?
Oh, but yes, they'll have it written on their hand, God's property, and be proud to be called God's child. Verse 6 says, God, King of Israel, your Redeemer, God of the angel armies says, I am first, I am last, and everything in between. I am the only God there is. Who compares with me? Speak up. See if you measure up. From the beginning, who else has always announced what's coming? So what is coming next? Anybody want to venture a try? Don't be afraid and don't worry. Haven't I always kept you informed and told you what was going on? You are my eyewitnesses. Have you ever come across a God, a real God, other than me? There is no rock like me that I know of. Isaiah 44, verses 2 through 8 in the Message translation.
That is so beautiful.
Yes, it is.
So why do we worry and fret? Why do we fear of the days coming? Oh, I'm going to have to do so much work. The fall is coming and I've got to do a lot of raking. We should be raking with joy. Mm-hmm. We should just be even clearing our yards and getting ready for the next spring and saying,
or get
thank
blowers.
You,
get, just okay. Blow those leaves
get
around.
Blowers, yes. Get blowers.
There's always options.
There's always options, yes. Don't think that there's only one way to do something.
Right.
Oh, there's always other ways.
Yes. And stewarding those other ways. You know, we can get so caught up in anxiety and stress, thinking about the future, the things to come. We can get caught up in regret and guilt, thinking about the past and what has happened. But stewarding that is catching it. You know, sometimes we go into our day trying to stay ahead of that guilt or regret, or trying to stay ahead of the anxiety and stress. And we do it in our own efforts. But really all it takes is just recognizing, wait, why am I doing the things I'm doing today?
That's right. Yes.
Why am I thinking the way I'm thinking? Mm-hmm. Why is my attitude the way it is right now? Just stop for a moment and think about it. And then you can deliver it right over to Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's the one who said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you are weary and heavy laden, bring that to me. That's Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30.
Yes. And we are not made as clones, Kimberly. No. We are given the mind of Christ. That's right. But that we have different experiences from our past, different things going on. So we're going to see some situations in different light. You and I do.
Right.
We see things differently because of our makeup. Mm-hmm. And what goes on. I know that around our table on Thursday nights, we get so many different sides of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's wonderful. It's interesting to see how other people are taking scriptures and revealing maybe what Holy Spirit wants all of us to know around that table.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid of saying, well, you know what? The Bible is saying this to me. Because sometimes Holy Spirit is going to say different things to different people.
Right.
But it all comes together in one accord, mm-hmm. and in love and cooperation with that.
So stewarding has so much to do with the love and the cooperation. When you're really loving each other and cooperating with each other, the stewardship of what you are thinking in your mind, the stewardship of gentleness and goodness and kindness. See, those are the fruits of the Spirit. Stewarding is going to have, when we stand before our Lord and our King in heaven, stewarding is going to have much less to do with managing these outward things in the world and much more to do with managing our inward emotions and character.
Yes.
That's what it's going to boil down to when we're standing before Him. He's not going to be worried about whether or not you got your yard cleaned up or whether or not your finances are all in order. That is not what we're going to be judged on when we stand before him. Did you find the lowest gas price last week?
I went all over town looking for the lowest gas prices. No, I don't do that.
I know. But some of us do.
And it's okay.
I like to try to find some lower gas. That's nice when that happens. But in my traveling, sometimes I can't always find the lowest.
Right.
I just have to go ahead and fill up my tank with what's available in Guymon, Oklahoma.
Right. These small towns. Yes.
So managing our emotions about that and just being thankful, having that thankful heart,
yes.
What you were reading earlier from Isaiah 44 and staying thankful for what we have, that's managing and stewarding what we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
Not the things, but what we've been given on the inside. So this whole idea of stewardship, I looked at Psalm 49, verses 18 and 19 say, though they have the greatest rewards of this world and all applaud them for their accomplishments, they will follow those who have gone before them and go straight into the realm of darkness where they'll never see the light again.
Oh, that's so sad.
So whatever we're trying to steward in this life, on this world, in this planet, whether it has to do with our families or our home or our cars or our business, our finances, our health, our medication, whatever we're trying to steward, that's the way everybody does it. And God is calling us to something a little greater than that.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew chapter 25 is the story of the master who entrusts his three different servants with talents of gold or money while he goes away. And while he was gone, that first servant who had been given five talents doubled his investment. Mm. Wow, how did he do that? Was it really about investing down at Wall Street? No, I really don't think so.
No.
The second servant did the same thing with his two talents. He doubled them. And those servants were both rewarded and told, well done, my good and faithful servant. But then there was the one servant who had been given one talent, and he had the idea that his master was harsh and exacting, ruthless, impossible to please. That servant had a different idea about his master.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave the excuse of being afraid of his master. And instead of doubling his talent, he hid it in the ground.
Mm.
See, this is really an inner character that's being talked about here. This is about what he believed. He believed his master was unkind. Well, I think if we believe that about God, we're not going to want to practice patience and kindness and goodness.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
We're going to want to do what other people do. We're going to want to be impatient in the traffic and yell at the person who is blocking a certain pathway in the road, you know, when they should be turning right, but they're trying to turn left from the right hand turn lane. You know, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And we can be honking our horns or shaking our fists, but that impatience is not catching the character of God.
Yes. Or maybe because that person is harsh, like this third servant thought that the master was harsh and ruthless, that he didn't deserve his time or his effort at all. And so he just hid that talent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So assumptions. We make assumptions. You know, or at the top of the hour here, we were talking about pride coming into the Garden of Eden. Our assumptions are all based on pride. We think we know.
Mm-hmm.
We think we know what somebody should be doing or should not be doing. And even if it's in traffic and we don't even know the person, we think we know and we get impatient with them because we're not really practicing the character of God.
Yes.
We're not practicing his kindness and his goodness and his patience. So I think as Christians, we have a tendency to use this idea in Matthew chapter 25 of the faithful servants. We use that to fall back into our own works. And then we're trying really hard to be faithful with what we've been given in this life, with our house, our car, our finances. You know, we're trying to be faithful. And what I want to look at are the parables surrounding this text in Matthew 25.
Okay.
So in Matthew 24, it's titled in my Bible, Live Always Ready for His Appearing. And this is talking about before the flood. People lived their lives eating, drinking, marrying, and having children. They didn't realize the end was near. So stay alert. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do we stay alert? Does this say that we stop eating and drinking? Stop marrying and stop having children? No, that's not how we stay alert. We stay alert by walking in the fruits of the Spirit that we've been given. Mm-hmm. We have been given love, joy, peace, patience with others, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. We've been given that, and self-control. Yes. Our own self and our flesh nature can be controlled by love. That's what we have been given, and we need to practice it.
Yes, practice.
Yes, practicing is what doubles it. Mm-hmm. It'll double.
Yes.
The talent will double as we continue to practice that patience, practice the kindness. And if you're at all like me, practice alone is not going to help. We have to call on the Lord for help. Mm-hmm. We won't have his character unless we're talking with him.
That's right.
And in his presence and constantly bringing him our impatience. And he wants to take it. He wants to take the impatience or the unkindness in us and help us to turn it and double it and make it into something beautiful.
Yes.
Matthew 24 also talks about the wise and faithful servant. It tells of this one who's overseeing his master's home, leading others well and giving them food at the right time. This servant is kind. Mm. He's leading others well in that home. And it specifically says, what joy and blessing will come to that faithful servant when the master comes home to find him serving with excellence.
Mm. So good.
Yes. But in contrast, there's an evil servant who will mistreat others in his master's household instead of caring for them. He will abuse the other servants. And there will be no reward for that one. Now, who is that one? I don't know. It might be me as I'm shouting at somebody in the traffic, you know? That, and I'm not saying that I'm slipping straight to evil. It's just I'm not practicing. I'm not practicing when I stay impatient or unkind. I'm not practicing what I've been given. Mm-hmm. Here's a servant that's not practicing patience or kindness.
And as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that we even bless those who persecute us.
Yes.
So if you see someone that's dodging in and out of traffic, the best thing to do is to pray for that one, that he won't go crashing somewhere in the median, but also pray for a spirit of salvation to come upon him. We can pray that in the Spirit. It's so wonderful to be able
that's
to pray
right.
for those people.
That's right. And we know our prayers are effective.
We're
releasing words that are powerful out into the universe,
yes.
and it will make a difference.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much,
yes.
it says in James 5. So, and it talks about Elijah being a person just like you and me. And yet, look what was accomplished because he trusted in God
yes.
and believed that God was going to bring him to the place where he could change lives,
right.
which he did.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So we're talking about stewardship. What does that look like? We started in Matthew 25, the stewards, the three different servants that were given the talents and how they stewarded them. Right before that parable of stewardship in Matthew 25, we find the story of the 10 virgins.
Boy, has that been discussed for years and years and years.
Yeah.
People trying to discern who are the five and who are the 10 foolish and
who are the five wise,
yeah,
right.
A lot of different sermons about that.
Right.
So what do you believe, Kimberly?
Well, I love this. I love this story because those five wise virgins, they kept a good opinion and they kept longing and expecting and waiting for their master to open the door. You know, they just kept a good opinion and they kept their oil in their lamps. They kept them burning, right? Mm-hmm. The five foolish ones became drowsy and fell asleep, not tending their lamps. So what we normally hear is they're foolish because they fell asleep.
Yeah.
They're foolish because the oil ran out. They didn't keep that oil in their lamp. And
but it really isn't in a physical effort that we're getting to. It's a spiritual condition of not tending to the master, expecting him to come. So we're going to be ready, prepared.
And we tend to think we have to remain awake. We have to do it on our own effort. You know, we have to find the energy to stay awake. We have to find the oil that will stay in our lamp. We have to keep our lamp lit, right? Mm-hmm. It comes back to works all the time. But for those of us who know our master, we know how good he is.
Yes.
How kind he is. How merciful and forgiving our master is. When we know that, then we will know that if we have run out of oil, we can go to him.
Mm, yes.
If our lamp is not lit anymore, we can go to him. See, these virgins, these five foolish virgins, were called foolish not because they ran out of the oil, not because the lamp went dim, but because they ran off to go find oil some other way in their own works. Because if they had just come to the master and said, you know what, I'm not prepared, and I'm sorry that I'm not prepared because you're glorious. And I want to be with you. Oh, do you think he's going to shut the door on that?
No.
No. That makes them unfoolish. That makes them wise to go to him. When we run out of oil, when our lamp is growing dim, we just come to him.
That's right.
He's the one who will give the fresh oil. He's the one who will light the lamp. He's the one who will keep us in the light.
Yes, we don't run to Walmart and fill all these carts with all kinds of stuff for the next 3 years to make sure that we have enough provision. We depend on God. And I'm not saying that's bad in its own self. I mean, if you've got the storage
when you
for
need to stock up
all the,
for a family of six, you
paper,
just do it.
Yes, you do it.
Yes.
Oh, but depending on God is so much better.
Mm. Yes, it is.
It really is.
Yes, and so we bless you today with the wisdom to come to Jesus as you are walking through your day, that you won't be disappointed in yourself, because you'll see he's not disappointed in you. He thinks you are pleasing, and he says, well done to you.
Oh, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you, Kimberly. And we bless you today, all of you listening, that you would grow in the wonderful fruit of Holy Spirit. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.